Welcome to Shirin Targumim, Parshas Shoftim. A number of sponsorships we'll mention tonight. Stephen Goldschein for the yard site of his father, Solomon Goldschein, which was on the 16th of Av. Chana Goldman in memory of her brother, Avram Yaakov ben Moshe. Charles and Grace Korn, in memory of his grandparents, Sima Ito Bas Avram and Yechezkel ben Yirmiyahu. Charles Rubin in memory of Isidore Rubin, Yitzchak ben Moshe Tzvi, the Neshama should have an aliyah, should see Moshnachas Ruach, the Torah Mitzvahs and Maisim Tovim that the respective families are involved in. So Parsha Shoftim, of course, we know contains many, many halachas. One of the series of halachas that's described in Parsha Shoftim is the mitzvah of a melech. Perek Yud Zayin, beginning Pasuk Yud Dalet, mitzvah to appoint a melech, a king, over Klal Yisrael, and mostly what the Parsha speaks about are the various restrictions that apply to the king. He's not supposed to have many horses, he's not supposed to have many wives, he's not supposed to have much gold and silver. And then we read in Pasuk Yud Ches, V'hoyo cheshivto al kisei mamlachto, will come to pass when the king is sitting on his throne. The Chosav Lo, as Mishnei HaTorah Hazos Al Sefer, Melifnei HaKohanim Alevim. He should write the Mishnah of this Torah on a Sefer, on a book, which of course in the Torah's terminology means on a parchment, on a scroll. He should do so before the Kohanim and the Levim. V'hoiso imo, the Sefer Torah should be with him. V'kara bo koyimei chayuf. He should read from the Sefer Torah throughout all of his life. And this way, by having the Torah and reading from it, he will learn to fear Hashem, his God, to guard all of the words of this Torah and all of the laws of the Torah in order to carry them out. It's a mitzvah that the Melech has to write a Sefer Torah. What is the word Mishnah? HaTorah Hazos mean? Right? B'chasav lo is HaTorah Hazos. He should write this Torah. What's the word Mishnah Torah mean? Probably doesn't mean that he's supposed to write out the Rambam. Right? The Rambam obviously borrowed the name of his Sefer, his series of Svarim, from this Pasuk. But what does the word itself mean? So Rashi writes, based on a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chof Aleph, is Mishnah HaTorah Hazos, Shtei Sefer Toros. Two Sifrei Torah. Now, where did we get two Sifrei Torah from? Because the word Mishnah means double, right? It's Mishnah HaKesef, Hashav Amtu Choseinu, right? In the story of Yosef and his brothers, they get the extra silver, which is snuck into their bags, on their way back to Eretz Yisrael. It's Mishnah HaTorah, Shtei Sefer Torahs. So in other words, because of law, it's Mishnah HaTorah Zos, according to this interpretation, means he should write the double Sefer Torah, the two Sifrei Torah. What are the two Sifrei Torah? Achas shehimunachas beveis genozov. One Sefer Torah is in his treasure house. It's stored. V'achas shenichneses v'yotzei simo. And the second Sefer Torah comes in and goes out with him. In other words, the Gemara basically describes how he has almost like tefillin, as it were, a small Sefer Torah that's strapped to his arm that he's constantly carrying around with him wherever he goes. That's Mishnah HaTorah Hazos, according to Rashi. And then Rashi writes, V'unkulus Tirgem Pas Shege. If you look in Targum Unkulus, the Targum Unkulus translates the word Mishnah as Pas Shegen. If we take Pas Shegen Aksav, Linosin Das, Bukhom Medina, Medina, right? So that's, if you look at the Targum Unkulus, that's he writes, V'yehekim mitvei al kursei malchusei, it will come to pass when he sits on his throne, V'yichtov le'yos pas shegen oraisa hada al sifra. The melech should write the pas shegen of this Torah on a sefer. So again, if you're familiar with Megillas Esther, that's where the word is most resonates, pas shegen haksav linosin das b'chol medina medina. The Megillah describes how when the edicts go out from the Persian government, the Pas Shegem is supposed to be spread throughout every country, Okay, so we're familiar with the word. What does the word mean? Right? It's okay. familiar and translating are two different things. But Tagum Unkelus uses Paschegen to translate the word Mishneh over here. So what does that mean? So writes Rashi, Posar Mishneh. Apparently, the Tagum Unkelus translates the word Mishneh Loshon Shinun V'dibur. That the word Mishneh means a language of sharpening and speaking. In other words, the way Rashi seems to interpret the Tagum Unkelus, the Pasuk is saying the Melech should write down this Torah on a Sefer, which he's going to carry with him. But it shouldn't just be, lahavdil, a good luck amulet that he carries around with him, right? It shouldn't be like one of these things where you have a million Svarim on the shelf, but you never actually open them. It should be Mishnei HaTorah Hazos. It should be a Torah which he speaks about, and which he's mishaning, which he goes over until he gets the words of the Torah sharp in his mouth. In other words, the word Mishneh implies something which he's constantly reading, learning, reviewing, and familiarizes himself with to the nth degree. And Rashi, by the way, says that's the word Mishnah. In other words, when we talk about the Mishnah, the Mishnayus, Mishnah means something which you're saying out. Remember, the Mishnah in its original form was Torah Shebaal Peh, it was oral. And you're saying it out, it's Dibur, and it's something that you're being Mishanin, Miloshin Vishinantum Levonecho. It's something that you're repeating and reviewing and going over and over and over again till you get it sharp. That's Mishnei HaTorah Hazos, says Rashi, that's the word Paschegen in this context. So how does that carry over to Megillas Esther? Paschegen Haksov, Linosein Dos B'chol Medina U'Medina, the Paschegen of the edict which was sent out to every country telling what was going to happen in the next couple of months. Apparently, according to Rashi's interpretation of the Targum Unkelus, you have to say that there in Megillas Esther it means the edict was sent out for everyone to familiarize themselves with the edict. You know, it wasn't one of these pieces of junk mail that you just get and, you know, you deposit it in that little,
In the green box.
The election's over. I wasn't going to vote for that guy anyway, right? You throw it in the green box right away. You know, it's not like that. Paschegen Haksov, Linosein B'chol Dos Medina. You know, the edict which was meant to be gone over and reviewed and you familiarize yourself with, that was what the edict was all about. The Aruch, in contrast, gives a different interpretation for the word Paschegen. I mean, the truth is it's a little bit hard to really read Rashi's understanding of Paschegen back into Targum Unkelus, because even just trying to say it in English, it's a little bit difficult. Kosav Lois Mishnei HaTorah Hazos. You know, he should write this Torah which he's going to read very well and be familiar with. That's a lot of stuff to put into the word Paschegen. So the Aruch was Reb Nosson of Rome, one of the early Rishonim who wrote a dictionary where he translated and explained many Aramaic words. So he writes that the word Paschegen means a tofes or a nuscha, which basically translates as a copy. So the Kosav Lois Mishnei HaTorah Hazos, he should write Paschegen Oraisa Hadah, means that the Melech should write a copy of this Torah. What do you mean a copy of this Torah? What does that mean in context? Right? So one way to interpret that is Chazal make reference, well, not even Chazal, the Chumash itself makes reference to the fact that there was a master copy of the Sefer Torah, which was placed mitzad ha'aron. It was by the side of the Aron Habris in the Kodesh HaKodashim. That was sort of the master copy of the Sefer Torah to make sure that there shouldn't be any mistakes that would come into the transmission of the Sefer Torah as they copied it from generation to generation. So the Melech has an accurate version of the Sefer Torah that's Paschegen Oraisa. It's a copy of the Torah itself, the master copy of the Torah, which is in the Aram. Right? That's one way to interpret the idea of Paschegen being a copy. But the truth is, another way to interpret that is really like the first pshat in Rashi. Rashi doesn't interpret the word Paschegen that way. Rashi says there's a first pshat, and then the Targum Unculus says something different. But in point of fact, it's not clear. You know, it could be that the Targum Unculus is really just saying what the first pshat in Rashi is. What's the first pshat in Rashi? That he's supposed to write two Sifrei Torah. Now, Rashi understands, based on the Gemara and Sanhedrin, how do we know that he's supposed to write two Sifrei Torah? Because the word Mishnah means double. But maybe the word Mishnah just means a copy of, and it still leads you to the same conclusion. Kosav lo'os Mishnei HaTorah Hazos. He should write a copy of the Torah. What's the first Sefer Torah? The one, not by the Aron, the one in the Melech's treasure house, the one that he has in storage, so to speak. And then he should write a copy of that Sefer Torah, and that copy, v'hoysa imo v'kara bo ko yimei chayav, that copy should be something that goes around with the Melech wherever he goes, and you know it will constantly be with him. And that leaves you to the same conclusion as what Rashi says in his first pshat, and what Chazal say in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that the Melech has actually two copies of the Sefer Torah, right? But instead of getting that by interpreting the word Mishnah as double, you just interpret the word Mishnah as copy, the copy of the Torah, and you come to the same conclusion. There's an original and there's a copy, and the copy goes around with him.
And is the copy a kosher Sefer Torah, or is it just...
It's not one of those like Simchas Torah things that they give to the kids, right? No, so it's the real deal. It's kosher Sefer Torah. It's just that it's number two. You know, when they mark it on the Atzei Chaim, I guess they put number two as opposed to number one. This is the copy. The Ibn Ezra seems to say exactly that pshat without quoting the Targum. The Mishnah, the Ibn Ezra writes Mishnei Nuscha Shenis, the second version. Now again, not second version in the sense that anything in the second Sefer Torah is anything different than in the first Sefer Torah. It's the same text, but it's simply the copy of the original. Applying this back to the pasuk in Megillah Esther, this interpretation of Paschegen as copy beautifully fits into the words Paschegen haksav li nasein b'chol dasa medina. B'chol medina rather. The Paschegen haksav, the copy of the original edict, lehinasein das b'chol medina medina, was then sent out to every country to be the das, to be the law. Right. So the word Paschegen, you know, as copy, fits beautifully, you know, into our understanding of that pasuk in Megillah as well. So again, that may be a much easier way to understand this Targum Unculus. Wanted to take a look at a second Targum Unculus, where the Targum Unculus actually gets cited by many of the Rishonim as taking sides in a halachic debate. So a little bit later on, Perek Yud Ches Pasuk Vav, V'chiyavo Halevi Me'achad Sharecho Mikol Yisrael Asher Hu Garsham Ubo B'chol Avas Nafsho L'Amakom Asher Yivchar Hashem. The pasuk speaks about a Levi coming to the place where Hashem has chosen for divine service. V'sheireis b'shem Hashem Elokav, he should serve in the name of Hashem, k'chol echov ha'levim ha'omdim sham l'fnei Hashem, together with all of his brethren, the Levim, who stand there before Hashem. Rashi explains over here, based on the Sifri and, you know, the Ma'amari Chazal, that although the pasuk uses the word Levi, it's actually talking about a Kohen. Now, Kohen is a Levi, right? But usually when we say Levi, we mean someone from Shevet Levi who's not a Kohen, right? If it was a Kohen, we'd call him a Kohen. But in this context, Rashi explains, again, based on Chazal, that the Levi who's being described over here in these psukim is actually a Kohen. And what's being described over here? Basically, the psukim say that the Kohen can come to the Beis HaMikdash and serve Hashem by bringing karbonos whenever he wants. There's an open door policy for Kohanim to serve in the Beis HaMikdash, with restrictions. We'll see in just a minute. Rashi writes over here, Limeid ala kohen shebo umakriv korbanos nidvaso ochovaso, right? It teaches us that a kohen can come and bring his own korbanos, v'afil b'mishmar she'eno shelo, even if he's not part of the mishmar, he's not part of the group of kohanim who are assigned that week for duty, but his own korbanos he can bring whenever he wants. That's one of the perks of being a kohen. Okay, dover acher. Furthermore, od limed al kohanim haboim leregel shemakrivim va'ovdim bekarbanos habos machmas haregel kama musvei haregel va'afal pishen al mishmar shelohem. Furthermore, there's another instance, says Rashi, in which a kohen can serve in the Beis Hamikdash, even if he's temporarily off sides. You know, even if he's not part of the mishmar that's assigned to that particular week. And that's with regard to the karbanos of the regalim of the Yom Tovim that take place during the year. Although the kohanim of the mishmar that was working that week are the only ones who can deal with the karbanos in general, when it comes to the karbanos of the regal, it's open season. Any kohen who wants to come in Sukkot time and take part in bringing the karbanos musaf of the regal or eating the karbanos that are associated with the regal. You're a kohen, you're in Yerushalayim, you have one of these passes that lets you go into the Beis HaMikdash and basically, you know, take a part in what's going on whenever you want, right? So just that, go back to the psukim. Chiyavo alevi me'achad sharecha mikol Yisrael, asher guhu garsham. When a kohen from anywhere in Eretz Yisrael shows up, uva b'chol avas nafsho, and he comes whenever he's moved, whenever the spirit moves him, elamakom ashiv char Hashem, to the place that Hashem has chosen, the Beis HaMikdash, b'sheiris b'shem Hashem elokav k'chol echov alevim, and he can serve there in the Beis HaMikdash like all of his fellow kohanim. K'chol echov halevim in this context means k'chol echov ha-kohanim. He can serve like any other kohen. Ha'omdim sham lefnei Hashem, says Rashi, in what context? Not in any context. Bringing his own karbanos or participating in the karbanos of the regal. There, you know, the whole concept of mishmaros falls away. Chelek k'chelek yochelu, he gets an equal portion like anybody else. Levad mimikarov of al ha'avos, besides the things sold on or by the forefathers. What does that mean? So Rashi over here writes, Yachol af bidvarim haba'im shlomachmas haregel. We just said that the Kohen could basically show up and say, I'm like anybody else, regardless of whether I'm a part of this mishmar or not, and I can be part of the karbanos, I can bring the karbanos, I can eat the karbanos. Yeah, he has carte blanche, he can do that for whatever he wants. Can he do that for other karbanos like tmidim, the karban tamid, and musfei shabbos, and adarim and adavos? Can he just like show up and present himself for other karbanos that are not his own personal karbanos, or the karbanos of the regel? Tamud lomar, levad mimikarav al ha'avos. That's what this last phrase means, and what it means is chutz mimashe machru ha'avos b'mei David u'Shmuel, that the Kohen can't jump into those things that were sold in the days of the Avos. Now, the Avos over here does not mean Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. It means the early generations like David and Shmuel. That's what Avos means in this context. Shenikba'u ha'mishmaros. Because in those days, in the days of Shmuel HaNavi, and the days of David HaMelech, that's when the system of mishmaros, of the Kohanim being assigned to a week at a time, was established. U'machru zeh lo zeh. And they made a kinyan, they made an acquisition one with another. Basically, the Kohanim made an agreement with one another. Tol atol shabascha, v'ani atol shabati. You take your week, I take my week. So levad mimkar of al ha'avos, the word mimkar over here is from the word to sell. You know, a kohen is entitled to take part in certain karbanos, but he can't interfere with the arrangement that was made with the avos, with David and Shmuel, right? With the mishmar system. The mishmar system mostly has to remain intact. There are just a few exceptions where the kohen can come and basically, you know, get involved, even though he's not necessarily part of that mishmar. This would seem to imply that the mishmar system is daraisa. It's from the Torah itself. Because the Torah references it. Levadmim karav al ha'avos. The truth is, the way Rashi interprets the phrase, it's very, very strange that the Torah should be talking about it. The Torah is referencing the avos. Who are the avos? Shmuel Anovi and David HaMelech. They weren't really around when the Torah was given. Right? So how could the Torah be referencing Shmuel Anovi and David HaMelech? Before we get to that, let's just see the Targum Unculus over here, which is not cited by Rashi, but we'll see it's very important. And the pasuk chelak kechelak yochelu levadmim karav al ha'avos, the Targum Unculus writes chulak kechulak yechlon. Again, they should eat whatever portion they're entitled to. Bar mi matarto diyesi b'shabsa, with the exception of the matarto. The matarto is the Aramaic word for the mishmar. So in other words, the Targum Unculus uses the word matarto, mishmar. You know, it's that group, that cohort of Kohanim that's assigned to that Shabbos. Bar mi matarto diyesi b'shabsa, with the exception, he can't interfere with the karbanos of the mishmar that will come that week. Dechein askinu avhasa, because that was indeed the takana, the enactment of the forefathers, to have a system of mishmaros to preserve that and to run the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, the Beis HaMikdash, with that orderly system of mishmaros. That, you know, so Rashi certainly interprets the pasuk as referencing the mishmaros. The Targum Unculus, who again, remember, is a Pashtun, is very interested in explaining things literally or in a very, you know, straightforward kind of fashion, also uses the word matarta, mishmar, in translating this phrase. Comes the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Saseh Lamed Vav, and he writes as follows. HaMitzvah HaLamed Vav, I guess it's a skula to be a Lamed Vavnik if you're a mitzvah, right? The 36th mitzvah, right? Who should sivanu shiyu akohanim ovdim lemishmaros? There's a mitzvah saseh in the Torah to preserve the schedule of mishmaros, of ordered cohorts serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Tavod mishmara b'chol shavua. Every week there should be a certain designated mishmar serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Lo tia yara komis asekis yachad. It shouldn't be that it's a free-for-all where everybody's doing whatever they want. Elo birigolim levad. The only time that you have a free for all is on Yom Tov. Shiavdu also mishmaros kulan b'shava. Then everybody can partake equally. B'chomi shaba yakriv, and anyone who comes at that point can bring a karban. And the Rambam there in Sefer HaMitzvos quotes a number of sources that this idea of dividing the Kohanim into mishmaros and having them work a week at a time in these certain cohorts is the Araisa. He quotes, among other things, the Sifri that we quoted from Rashi before. V'chein pershu har targum, and writes the Rabbi in Sefer HaMitzvos, and the Targum Unculus, indeed explains the pasuk this way. Bar mi matar to diyesi b'shabsa, with the exception of the mishmar that's going to come that Shabbos. D'chein askinu avasa. Because that's the way that the avos were misaking the way that they made the institution. The Ramban over here in Sefer HaMitzvah, in his Hasagas to Sefer HaMitzvah, so again, the Ramban wrote critical commentaries on the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvah. He argues and he tries to establish the position that the whole institution of Mishmaros is not the Araisa, right? It is a rabbinic institution. Just read to you a little bit. I mean, it's an early rabbinic institution. Attacker goes back to Shmuel Anovi and David HaMelech and the like, but that's still called the Rabbanon. You know, it's not the Araisa. Hanira b'mishmaro shehu tikkun neviim lo chova, writes the Ramban. It's an institution of the neviim. It's not an obligation that comes from the Torah itself. Aye, so what does the pasuk mean? Kavonas hakosuv shakohanim kol zman shiyavol mikdash yizku ba'avoda v'yichalku im hakohanim hanimtzoim b'mikdash. The Torah is telling us that the Kohanim, whenever they want, can come to the Mikdash. They can be zocher in whatever avoda they want to do, they can, you know, come one, come all. Lo shiyidchu osam, you can't push them away. O shiyomer lehem kvarbo, elo bali akarbonos la'azara, yebo zerifyon l'biyas ha'kohanim l'mikdosh. If you turn away kohanim, when they come to the, you know, a kohen comes and wants to serve in the Beis HaMikdosh, we don't tell him, oh, sorry, it's not your turn. You know, that will undermine the zeal and the enthusiasm that the kohanim have. V'omar levad mimkarov al ha'av, levad mimkarov, she'im mochru ha'av ozeh lozeh, ato b'shabatscho, v'ani b'shabati, o ato b'chodshecho, v'ani b'chodshi, ein ha'ba b'mishmar she'en oshulo, zocha b'korbanos, v'ein ocholik imoim. When the Torah makes reference, you're right, the Torah does make reference to the idea that the Kohanim might decide to institute a system. But the Torah isn't saying that the Kohanim must institute a system. All the Torah is saying is, in the absence of a system, the Kohanim can come whenever they want. Right? In other words, there's no mitzvah to institute a system. However, levad mimkarav al ha'avos, if the Kohanim choose to institute a system, which they have the right to do, because again, it is a free, if anyone could just, any Kohen could just walk into the Beis HaMikdash and serve whenever they want, at a certain point, you know, it could become a balagan, right? So the Torah is saying, if the Kohanim decide among themselves that they want to make some kind of system where only these people will serve this week, or forget about weeks, maybe it will be by month, maybe it will be bi-monthly, you know, maybe they'll work out some other kind of system. If they work out a system, so then the system overrides the concept that any Kohen can come whenever he wants and serves. But the whole point of these psukim and chumash, says the Ramban, is not to emphasize the limitations on the ability of a Kohen to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. The whole point of the psukim is to emphasize the right of a Kohen to serve whenever he wants in the Beis HaMikdash. The truth is, I think, just the whole sense of the psukim reads a little bit easier according to the Ramban than it does according to the Rambam. Because if you think about it, the thrust of all these three psukim is all the things that the Kohen can do. According to the halacha, really the halacha is like this. Kohanim usually can't serve in the Beis HaMikdash on a whim. Usually there's a system of mishmaros, but there are two exceptions, right? The Kohen, you know, regalim is an exception, and the Kohen bringing his own karbanos is an exception. Fine, okay, so those are two exceptions. Most of the time, the Kohen has to go with the system, right? You can't buck the system. The way the psukim present themselves, v'chiyavo alevi, ubo b'chol avas nafsho, v'sheiris b'shem Hashem elokov, the whole emphasis of the psukim is whenever you want, right? So the Ramban says that is what the pasuk is saying. The pasuk is saying whenever you want, unless the Kohanim decide that it's getting crazy and they're going to make a system. Okay, so that seems to go a lot easier in the psukim, as opposed to saying that the Torah is making a mitzvah, that there's a system. And yeah, there are a few exceptions, you know, to that system as well. But to be honest, the Targum Onkelos sounds much more like the Rambam than it does like the Ramban, right? Because the Targum Onkelos speaks of the Mishmar, you know, not a sort of random generic agreement, but there's the Mishmar that comes every Shabsa, every week, right? It sounds like the Torah itself is describing and even prescribing a system where there's a changeover of the Kohanim every week, and that, as the Rambam points out, you know, seems to indicate that the idea of having a weekly Mishmar is Daraisa.
So then, how do they say that
Right.
So how does the Rambam reconcile that?
Oh, so
he himself has to
reconcile
it somehow.
Right, right. Very good. I mean, again, let's just go back to the question. The pasuk itself is making reference to the Avos, you know, to David and Shmuel. How's the pasuk? Right, Moshe Tikein and David and Shmuel Tikno.
Yeah.
Right. So in other words, but A, that, and B, how do you reconcile with the pasuk? So the Ritva in Masechta Tainis Dav Chavav quotes this Targum Onkelos. Again, the Targum Onkelos seems to support the position of the Rambam that the whole institution of Mishmaros is Daraisa. And the Ritva writes as follows. The Pasuk seems to indicate that Mishmaros is a Din Daraisa, as per the Rambam, as per the Targum. But the Gemara explains that it's a Takanas Nevi'im. Moshe Rabbeinu, David, Shmuel, Zokti Ritva, that the fundament, the chiyuv from the Torah is there should be a system. What's the nature of the system? So Moshe Rabbeinu instituted a certain form of the system, right? It says that Moshe Rabbeinu instituted 8 mishmaros, right? In the days of Shmuel, they made it into 16 mishmaros. In the days of David, they made it into 24 mishmaros. You know, the exact way you carry out the system, that was a takonas nevi'im. But the fact that there is a system, right? So that's from the Torah. That's the Ritva writes, and that's, you know, how the Rambam and the Targum Onkelos would reconcile themselves with the Gemara and Tainus. According to that, the word avos is used kind of generically by the Torah itself. The Torah, it happens to be that Moshe, Shmuel, and David, you know, made tikkunim as to how many mishmaros there were, but the Torah isn't referencing them specifically. The Torah is saying, you know, there will be avos, meaning leaders of the Jewish people, who will figure out what exactly the system is going to be, but avada, there has to be a system. Who the avos are going to be, time will tell, right? But, you know, there certainly has to be a system which will be put into place by the Chachmei Yisrael in the various generations. Hanan ben Akasha Omer, Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'zakos Yisrael, L'fikach Hirba Lehem Torah Mitzvos, Shenema,